Hello, everyone, and welcome back to our class on the parables of Jesus. Today, we're going to be looking at the parable of the sower. This is found in Matthew chapter 13 and Mark chapter 4, and we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 8 to look at this parable and what it means for us today. So we're going to read it together. Let's start together. This is Luke chapter 8. Let's read through the parable, and then we'll make our observations. This is Luke 8, beginning in verse 4. It says, when a great crowd was gathering and people from town to town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell among the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. And as he said these things, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. When his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God, and that the ones along the path who have heard, the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are the ones who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and the riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. It's a common parable. In fact, it's probably one of the more memorable parables of Jesus about this sower. And if you can just visualize the picture, it's certainly not like modern farming today. You got a man, a farmer, and he's going out through his field. He sticks his hand in that bag and he's just throwing the seeds, casting the seeds wherever they may lie. Some on the road, some in the thorns, some in the rocky soil, and some in the good soil. But he gathers and he casts the seeds. Now Jesus identifies and helps explains the parable here that the seed is the word of God, and God himself would be the sower, and the soils are the hearts of men, the hearts of people. And so there's an immediate understanding and application here of, is the soil meeting the good and honest heart? Because when it does, it grows. There are things that keep the seed from getting into the heart, and yet the sower will sow no matter what condition that heart is in. And when that seed meets a good and honest heart, good things come about. Well, sometimes I think we look at this parable and we explain it through the terms of evangelism, the idea of evangelism, that the word is the seed and we are the sower and we cast that seed everywhere. We just teach whoever it is we can. And so we teach our neighbors and our friends, our co-workers, we're just casting the seed wherever it may fall. And there's some, they're not going to listen. There's some who are not going to be interested, but we just keep sowing, and sure enough, before too long, that seed will meet a good and honest heart, and they'll believe and they'll obey. That's oftentimes how this parable is taught. And it's taught that that couldn't be an application, perhaps, of what this parable is pointing to. But I really think when we look at the context here, Jesus had something else in mind than evangelism, than us going out and sowing this seed. There's a word that's found through this context that I think explains the greater meaning and purpose of this parable. I want you to trace the word with me as we go through the context. Again, remember, one of the keys of understanding the parables of Jesus is being able to go before it and or after it to catch the greater context to see if we can understand what's going on here. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to begin looking at the initial parable. We're going to begin in verse 8, and we're going to trace a word. Notice the word as we go through it. In verse 8, as he said these things, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. In verse 12, the ones along the path are those who have heard. In verse 13, the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word. In verse 14, as for those who fell among the thorns, they are the ones who hear. In verse 15, as for that in the good soil, there are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart. Keep going. Verse 16, no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar and puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. Then in verse 19, his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. He was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you." But he answered them, "My brother and my mother are those who hear the word of God and do it." Catch the word? All through this context, we find the word "hear." It's used over and over and over again. And so do you see the point here? The greater point of what Jesus is saying here is that this parable is about those who hear the word of God. Those who receive it, those who obey it. Those who take in the word of God, those are the ones who are best prepared for a life that's going to be pleasing to God. But that's on us. That's on us. The charge found through this section is verse 18. The real heart of this whole section, the parable before and the parables after and the statement after, the real hub, the central point of this section is verse 18. Take care how you hear. Take care how you hear. Pay attention to the things you're listening to. Pay attention to the things that we are reading. Here's the thing, the parable of the sower is not a one-time thing, and often that's how we teach it, that we are sowers, and we go out and we see, we sow the seed, and either it falls on a hard or it doesn't. It either falls on an honest heart or it doesn't. No, this parable is not a one-time thing. This parable happens every time the Word of God is opened. This parable happens every time I hear the Word of God, whether it be a personal Bible reading or a Bible study or a Bible class or a sermon. I will be one of these soils every single time the Bible is opened. This parable takes place on a daily basis. The question is not, who are you sowing the seed to? The question is, what kind of soil, what kind of heart do you have when the Word is opened? Or in other words, how are you listening? How's your hearing? Take care how you hear. What this shows us then is the great need for us. If this parable really is more about us and how we receive the word, how we hear the word and understand the word, this shows us the greater emphasis that must be placed on our need to prepare the soil. There's a lot of work that has to go into receiving and accepting the word of God into our hearts. And so notice a couple things here. Sometimes, in order to get the word into our hearts, we're going to have to break ground. Break through the solid ground. That first place the seeds fell upon in verse 12, those beside the road, trampled underfoot by men, that Satan comes and snatches the word away. You know, there's some that when they hear the word, it never gets in. It never gets into the heart. The word is never given a chance to be considered as truth. Those hearts are hardened. They're hardened like a hard asphalt road. For some, it's hardened because it's a firm grasp on a certain belief. Whether if it's a belief or a tradition, I'm only ever going to see this passage this way, this truth this way. I'm not going to see it through any other way but through this lens. For some, it's hard because they've bought into lies. Well, this doesn't really apply to me. The Bible is irrelevant today. The Bible is just man's words. And so the heart is hard. It's not going to accept the truth. For some, it's that they've settled for a life of sin. And so even though they hear the truth, and that truth is directed right towards their life, they choose to do what they want to do anyway. It's what Paul would say in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, when he says in verse 17, he says, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of heart. They become calloused and have given themselves up to sensuality, greed, to practice every kind of impurity. But that's not the way you learn Christ." He's saying, though, their hearts are hardened, their hearts are calloused because of their pursuit of sin and rebellion. And so someone hears a sermon, they hear a Bible class, and it's right towards where they're living. And yet they don't take it in. They don't listen. Why? because their heart is hardened because of sin. They don't want to accept it, because to accept it means they're going to have to change. And so there are some, they don't hear it because their hearts are hard. And that really comes to all of us. To receive the word sometimes requires of us that we break through the hard ground. We break through the tough ground, the hard attitudes. We break through pride with humility. And James teaches us in the book of James chapter 1 that when we come to approach the Word of God, one of the most important attitudes we can have is the attitude of humility. James says in James chapter 1 verse 21, "Therefore put aside all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness or humility the implanted word which is able to save your souls." And so for some people, before I pick up the Bible and read it, before I go to that Bible study, before I enter into Bible class or I listen with that sermon, I'm going to have to break through the hard heart and come humble. That is, I'm coming to learn. I'm not coming to teach. I'm not coming to confirm what I already know. I'm not dismissing it before I even begin. I'm coming with an honest, humble heart to receive the truth. And so for some, the work beforehand has to be in breaking that ground. For some, it's that they got to dig deep. The second soil that Jesus describes is the rocky soil. It's a soil that looks good on the surface, but it's shallow. There's rocks underneath, and those roots can't get any depth. You see in verse 6, they can't get any depth. They can't go far and deep. And really, this is describing those who receive the Word of God, but it's shallow. And it remains shallow. Their understanding of God's Word remains shallow. And so they've gotten the facts, they got the basic stories, but this is a heart that lacks maturity. They've not deepened their faith. They've not deepened their understanding to a genuine, enriched commitment and understanding of the truth. You see in the book of Hebrews chapter 5 how the writer here describes this of the brethren. He says in verse 11 that we desire each of you. In verse 11. About this we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you. Again, the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk and not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he's a child. But solid food is for the mature. For those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let's leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity. Not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, and of instruction about washings and laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. Hear language there? They hadn't deepened their faith. There are some who all they had was just a basic understanding of God's Word. And that's how some are today. They simply just have the fundamental understanding of God's Word and His truth. And so there's some who, when they read and when they study, they only get surface-level thoughts. They only come away with surface-level understanding. They haven't gone deeper. They haven't challenged their faith. They haven't challenged themselves to learn new things, to dig deep into some heavier, weightier subjects, weightier thoughts, weightier principles. And what they need to do, and maybe this is us, what we need to do is make sure when we come to the Scripture, we're not just rehearsing what it is that we already know. That's in part where we're going to be refreshed in the truth. But we need to come with the goal and intention of learning the truth, of learning what this has to say. For some of us, we have to get past the basic principles, the surface level understanding. You know, the beginning place is the who, what, when, where, why of a passage. But let's get a little deeper. Let's look into some rich principles. Let's look with fresh eyes. Let's lower their nets. Maybe there's some concepts that I haven't chased down before. Maybe are there some passages and some chapters I've avoided, some books of the Bible I've avoided because they are weightier in matter. Don't just settle for surface level understanding about Christ, about His Word, about these truths. Challenge yourself to dig deep to understand what this Word is really about. The third thing that we see here, the third soil, was those that was among the thorns, the weeds and the thorns. And what's necessary for those to get the word is that there has to be a pulling of the weeds. And so while the seed grows, those thorns and those weeds, they choke out any of the fruit. You see in verse 7 and verse 14. And, you know, this really describes a lot of us. There are some who just have so many distractions. Think of it this way. See if the story resonates with you. Read the Bible first thing in the morning, 7 a.m., read the Bible. And then the kids are up. The kids are up, and we got to get them dressed. We got to get food in their system because we got to get them off to school. And once we get everything ready and maybe take them off to school, then we got to go to work. And when we go to work, there's deadlines that have to get done. There's projects, there's meetings, there's appointments, there's emails. Or maybe just at home, there's the laundry and the dishes and everything, all the upkeep of the house. Or maybe we have little ones at home, and it's all day long with little ones, which is a constant focus and attention of our time. And then the kids come home, and then there's sports practice and band recitals and choirs and all sorts of activities that take our place. And then sometime in that, we have to have dinner, and then it's nighttime routine, and the kids are off the bed, and finally we hit our heads on the pillow, exhausted from a long day's activity with everything that's going on. And somewhere in the midst of that day, we read something. We read a passage. But whatever it was, it's become lost in the shuffle of a busy day. That story hit home with you? I mean, it has with me. You know, we're really busy. We're really busy people. The simple answer would be, well, we just need to slow down. And I think because of our current situation here in 2020, some of that has happened by force. You know, we're forced to be at home more. We're forced to let go of some of the activities we used to do because of the nature of this pandemic. And yet I think there's still more that we can do to try and be successful in reading the Word of God and keeping it in our hearts while navigating through a really busy year, a really busy lifestyle. Those who live wherever you live and trying to get the Word into your hearts. Sometimes we do this to ourselves. We hurt ourselves and our understanding of God's Word because we try and do too much. We may be trying to read so much within a day that when we're done reading, we just really don't understand what we read because we're trying to maybe check it off. I want to get through the Bible in a year. I want to accomplish this really impressive reading plan, this exhaustive reading plan, so I want to check off all the list. And so the problem is we read multiple chapters a day and we're checking it off on the list and it looks really good on paper, but if you were to ask the person a few hours after what they read, hey, what did you read today? What is the will of the Lord? What did that passage mean and what are you doing with it today? They couldn't tell you. They couldn't tell you. And that's our problem, is that sometimes we take too much in, trying to accomplish a lot on paper, and yet none of it really sticks. Sticks to where it works and applies in our life, like that last soil. How about this? Let me ask you an illustration. What is the difference between eating a milkshake and eating a steak? Well, a milkshake goes down really fast and really easy. I mean, you don't even have to chew. You just swallow that thing right on down, and it goes down quick and easy. And it sustains you for a short while. But really, it's just a quick sugar high and then you crash back down. But a steak, though, you gotta chew. Everybody, you gotta chew and chew and chew and chew. And you're just taking in all the flavors. You don't just swallow it. No, you chew, 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 chew. You're taking in all the different flavors of that meat, all the different marinades on that meat. Do you know that the word meditate is found in verses like Psalm chapter 1, where in the psalmist describes one who is effective, one who is blessed, one who continues to walk in the way of the Lord. It's described in Psalm 1, beginning of verse 2. It says that his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And all that he does, he prospers. It's that word meditate. The word meditate means to chew, to think on, to mull over. He's thinking through the Bible. He's thinking through God's Word day and night. You know, that's the problem for so many of us, is that we read. We read our section, we read our chapter, we read what we're supposed to read, and then we close the book and we go on our way, and we don't give any thought to what we read. It doesn't stay with us. We're not thinking on it. But here's the thing. Rather than just reading, checking off of the list, and quickly moving on, what if we stopped and we thought about it? And we just worked through it. What did I read? What did it mean? Well, what did it really say? What did I learn from this section about God, about Christ, about the Holy Spirit? What did I learn about salvation and grace of the church? What did I learn about God's will? What did I what can I do to live this in my life? Are there some examples I need to follow or some examples I need to avoid? Are there some promises that I need to hold on to, some hope that I can instill, some things that I'm not doing that I need to start doing, or some things that I am doing that I need to stop doing? Can you see working through the text in your mind, thinking it through? What's it mean, and what's it mean to me? How can I live it today? Imagine taking the time and praying through it. Lord, I thank you for this passage, and I thank you for letting me read this today. Here's what I learned. My prayer is you help me to take the things that I learned today and to walk it off the page into my own life. Can you imagine then? Maybe if we slim down what we're reading, made it a much more manageable section, and we slow down rather than trying to make it merely a checklist in the day, that we gave our time, gave ourselves more time to less content, but we thought on it and we dwelled on it. And we meditated on it. And maybe we spoke about it with our family or our friends or our coworkers. And through the day, maybe we picked one section of it and we just were mulling on it throughout the day. Think of how rich that thought is. Or wow, what an amazing principle. Or what a great promise. And we're just thinking about it all day long. Can you think about what a difference that would make? Do you think your attitude would change? Maybe from the temptation to be negative, that we maintain a positive and joyful outlook because of what we've read. Can you think of the application of, instead of giving in to temptation so very easy, instead I have the Word of God that's working in my mind, and when that temptation comes, I've got it right here. I've been thinking on it and molding on it. I've got it right here. It's already right here. And when the temptation comes, look, the Word of God is able to help me to keep from the path I need to be from. And so I'm able to take what I've learned and apply it in the moment and say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm resisting temptation. My mind is sharp and strong and fortified today because the Word is in my mind and in my heart. Can you think about the influence we might be in the lives of those around us when the Word of God is fresh and in our hearts and in our minds, the teaching that we can share with others, the help that we can share to others because the Word of God is there and in our lives. The Word of God is designed to warn us about the dangers of these realms below, as well as to help us become more and more transformed into the image of Jesus, to bear that good fruit of the Spirit. But in order to do so, I've got to get the Word of God in my heart. I must receive it, which means before I read, before I study, before I listen to that sermon, before I attend that Bible class, there may be some work, some hard work I need to do to make sure that when this Word is open, I'm ready to receive it and to grow. Can you imagine all these years and all the times we've read the Bible, all the Bible classes we've been through, all the sermons we've been through, and yet the question is, what have I learned? What good has all of this done? No, we may not be able to remember every Bible class or every sermon, and I don't think any teacher or preacher would expect that of any listener. And yet the question would be, from what we've heard and what we've listened, has it helped us grow? Have we taken it even in the immediate context of that class or that sermon and really taken it in to think on it, to let it produce change in our life, to stop the things that are wrong, to build the things that are good, and to keep on that path that is right? Do you see then the point of the parable? How abundant the seed is sown. All around us today, the seed is sown in so many variations. The question is, how's our listening? Take care then how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given. From the one who has not, even what he has, so even what he thinks he has, will be taken away. We've got to work on our listening, taking in the Word of God. Hope this will give you something positive to think about, and I hope you go back through and read and mull on this some more. Come on back and study with us. We have more parables coming up this quarter, and so we look forward to you having you back with us and studying with us. Until then, have a great day, and we'll see you again soon.